Yo, what up, everybody? Once again, it's Rob, your homie. What is a juggalo? I'm joined today by the homie Josh, Scrubby Josh from Indiana. What's up, Scrubby Josh?
What up, man?
Just chilling, trying to avoid this pandemic bullshit.
Same here.
I mean, that's really all there is to it, right?
I've had a couple scares, but luckily never got it.
Oh, that's good, man. I'm glad to hear that. So far, I've been good. Although some of my family, not so much, but nobody's gotten it really bad, so that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
So let's go ahead and just jump right on into it and get started at the most obvious starting point is, how did you find out about Juggalos and the Wicked Clowns and all that?
Of course, I found out because of the MTV Malenko thing. And I was like, this seems kind of interesting. At the time, I was a big gangster rap and hip hop nerd, and that's all I listened to was all that stuff. And I was like, I'm gonna go check this out. And I got Malenko on tape, popped it in. I said, man, this shit is whack. I popped it back out and didn't listen to it for another month.
And how old were you at the time?
16.
16. And it's interesting that you were listening mostly to like more regular hip hop. A lot of juggalos at that time that were attracted to the Malenko stuff were more into like the nu metal and things like that.
Yeah. Guitarist kind of threw me off. I didn't really like it that much because all the guitars on in it.
Yeah. So what were your first thoughts when you were like, other than that it's whack, like did you have any reaction to it other than that, or was that just it, like you just didn't want to hear it?
Well, I thought they didn't take it very seriously rapping, and
right,
the guitar beats just didn't go what I was listening to, and I just didn't like it at first.
And what made you go back?
I was like, I'm gonna give it another shot, and I popped in the second side, and I believe the second side started off with, might have been What Is a Juggalo, either that or Boogie Woogie Woo. I don't remember, but
yeah,
Boogie Woogie Woo got me.
Oh, nice. What do you think it was about that song that was different enough from the rest that it sunk its teeth in?
It reminded me of a rapper from the 80s, early 90s, maybe, named Bobby Jimmy. He was like the Weird Al of rap.
Okay.
So the comedy got to me, and then the beat of Boogie Woogie Woo got to me because it was heavy, heavy bass.
Yeah. It's kind of menacing. Yeah. So at 16, what was your life like when you found them?
I just started working like a real job, you know, at Meijer, pushing carts and bagging groceries.
Is that a grocery store?
Yeah, it's Midwest.
Okay. Sorry.
Besides that, I was running the neighborhood, man. I was running the streets, just doing all kinds of crazy stuff with my friends and getting in trouble and.
What's the most trouble you got into?
We busted out a cop car window while the cop was driving down the road.
Jeez.
And he chased after us, but there was too many of us, and we split up in four different groups, and he couldn't find us.
Oh.
we none of us ever got caught or arrested until after I moved out of the neighborhood.
Oh, wow. And was this in Indianapolis also, or was this like...
The south side of Indy.
South side. I don't know that area at all, so you'll have to forgive me, but like, what's that kind of neighborhood like?
That neighborhood was nuts, man. It was a trailer park. I had maybe like six or seven guns pulled on me in that neighborhood.
Damn.
I didn't get stabbed though, but I got stabbed. Not in that neighborhood. Somewhere else I got stabbed on my east side of my of my town.
Damn.
I got stabbed. I got stabbed in the foot.
How did you get stabbed in the foot?
Oh, there was a lot of gangs, and some kid, probably about 12, was trying to impress the other gang members. So that's what he probably had to do, was stab somebody to get put into the gang. Yeah, he was hiding behind a fence, a wooden fence, and then he stabbed me when I walked out.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that seems like a weird place to get stabbed.
Yeah.
So were you in school still, or did you drop out of school, or what's going on with school?
School's always been hard for me because I am dyslexic and I'm somewhat illiterate too. I was in school. I graduated school, but I hated it. Yeah. Not only because I was dyslexic and whatnot, it was because there was only maybe like six other juggalos and we all got picked on constantly.
Wow. And let's talk about being dyslexic a little bit. I'm also dyslexic, just very mildly. So like I read fine, but I read slow.
Yeah.
What kind of problems did you have with that?
I write stuff backwards. Yeah. I read backwards. I can read upside down. And, right. When I was in kindergarten, I was in Catholic school, and in the 80s, it wasn't no such thing as being dyslexic. It was, you're dumb.
Right. Right.
So,
or lazy. Right.
Yeah. I was spelling dad, B-A-B. And they told my dad that I was not ready to move on, so they held me back in kindergarten.
Yeah.
So that's pretty rough for a kid in kindergarten to think that he's not smart enough to move on with the rest of his classmates.
Right. Yeah. I also was held back in kindergarten, so
that sucks, doesn't it?
I mean, it is what it is. I don't really remember school, so
I do.
Yeah. So let me let's talk about this though. You were struggling in school. You found kind of a life on the streets. But you were able to stay in school, so that's good. I mean, I dropped out. I hated fucking school.
Yeah.
So what made you want to finish, since you already had something else going on outside?
I didn't want to be stuck not having my high school diploma, and I just felt like it's something I had to try to do and try to just do for myself, basically. So I basically hustled my way to school. I had to make two different deals with two teachers to pass me my senior year.
Wow.
One was, if I don't sleep in your class anymore, will you pass me? And another one was, if I passed your test, will you give me an A? And she fell for it. I passed it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Was your family really like school oriented, or you know, what was your relationship with them like?
My dad, if I didn't do well in school, he would like yell and scream at me, and he thinks that being dyslexic and illiterate is by choice.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, like, so my parents divorced when I was like 2 months. Two months old.
Damn. Do you have a relationship with your mom?
Yeah. I lived with my dad for about 6 or 7 years, and until they finally found out what was wrong with me about being dyslexic, and they had me move in with my mom because the schools in the on the south side was a lot better, and they actually had programs for kids that had it.
Oh, that's good. And that might be ultimately like what helped you stay in school, and so that's better than nothing, right?
Oh yeah. Because if I lived with my dad, I probably wouldn't have stayed in school because he was never around, and it was just my two older brothers, and the streets.
Right. Are your brothers juggalos too, or?
Oh, no. One of them kind of, like, he has a couple albums. He listened to them every once in a while because he just wanted to get into something that I was, so he can try to understand it. And then my other brother went to my first ICP concert with me, and he absolutely hated it.
How can you hate their concert? Like, I understand not liking their music, but their concerts are so fucking fun.
he thought that ICP's performance was good, but the opening acts, he wanted to jump on stage and fight the lead singer from Mind the Self-Indulgence.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people didn't like their show.
Oh, I loved it.
I like MSI, but a lot of people did not enjoy them. I didn't get to go to that show, though. That was before I was able to manage. But, yeah, so let's kind of tie this back to ICP a little bit. So did you, when you got the Malenko tape and you started listening to it more, how long was it before you started just being like, I got to know everything about these guys, or I got to go see a show or anything like that?
About a week into it, one of my homies was came over, and he was like, oh, man, you listen to that? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, man, I liked them too. I'm like, and you just now brought this up, man? He's like, yeah, man, I didn't know if anybody would like you. I thought everybody would make fun of me. So he let me listen to, he had a Riddle Box. Oh, nice. And I have Malenko. So we traded off for a little bit, and then we went out and got everything we possibly could.
Yeah.
Took about 2 months.
Yeah, I remember those early days, man. It was just like, you had to scour for shit. You had to go up, hit every different, at least out here. I don't know how it is out there, but you had to go to every fucking, like, music store and just hope that they had the one that you still needed.
Well, luckily, we're close by everything, and at that point, there was, like, 5 different record stores next to us.
Oh, nice. So once you started getting more into it, did you connect with other juggalos, or?
Once we got into it, we converted everybody in our neighborhood into it.
Oh, nice.
We had a pretty big crew growing up. We got up to 34 people in our crew.
Wow.
So, which is awesome, which is awesome, because 17 plus 17 is 34.
Oh, nice. I didn't even think about that. And are you still down with any of them people, or?
A few of them I still talk to now and again, but a lot of them got arrested. Some of them died.
Wow.
I was freshman year when I got into it. I lost a lot of the friends that I had in school because I got into it, the ICP thing, but I didn't care. I stopped caring my freshman year what everybody thought of me, and I just hung out from everybody in my neighborhood and juggalos.
That's dope. Were there any, like, specific incidents that you remember, though? Like fights or anything? Any kind of stories?
There was this... The school I went to had a bunch of rich kids in it. And we used to poor kids that live in the trailer park.
Uh-huh.
Well, these kids all got Mustangs. Their parents bought them Mustangs. And they called themselves the Mustang Gang. And we lived in a big circle. And they came rolling through trying to act all hard. And they got their shit hit with a bunch of rocks and windows cracked and whatnot. And they never came back. And then our neighborhood became infamous. Then people started coming over there trying to fight with us. And we never started nothing, but we always finished it.
Right. All right, and then you said you graduated high school. What did you do after high school?
I was a printer for a little bit until I got diagnosed with anxiety and depression. And they told me to take a little break and come back when I'm ready.
Uh-huh.
And I told when I tried to come back, they told me they fired me.
That sucks. Yep. What kind of printing...
big posters, like movie banners and like the banners when you go into Walmart and it says men's clothing or electronics. I've helped print those. And but then I became a groundskeeper at an apartment complex, and I've been there ever since.
Oh, wow. What kind of stuff does a groundskeeper at an apartment complex do?
I'm basically just a glorified janitor.
Right. But I'm sure, like, is there any kind of, like, weird shit you've had to deal with?
Trashing out apartments after people leave their stuff there, man. I love it. At the same time, though, I hate it because sometimes it's disgusting. But other times, man, you find all kinds of awesome stuff.
Like what?
Well, when I first got that job, I got my first apartment, and everything that was in there, from the couch to the TV to the TV stand, I found in apartments.
Oh, wow.
The only thing I didn't take was a bed.
Yeah, you want a clean bed.
Yeah. Man, even the couch, man, I got it cleaned by our carpet guy. Yeah. So.
But you ever find anything weird, though? Like, fucking, I don't know.
Yeah. We was trashing out this one apartment, and they had this big, long dresser, and they had something in the back of it, and we couldn't figure out what it was. So I got down and I put my arm all the way to my shoulder to the back and I grabbed it and I pulled it out. It was a double-sided dildo.
Fun times. Did you keep it? Did you use it?
No, I threw it at the guy that was helping me trash it out. He freaked out and ran.
That's funny. I'm just imagining that right now, and it's making me laugh.
It was blue.
So, oh, that helps the imagination. Thank you. Paint me a picture. So, once you started working as a janitor, what was your life like? I mean, just working and getting into shit. And
I stopped running the streets about that time and started working. I was still going to lots of shows and traveling the country and whatnot. I started calming down a little bit. To me and my friends were getting arrested and dying and whatnot, and I wasn't trying to get arrested.
So you never got arrested for that kind of shit?
No. I was always like to call myself the brains of the operations, because anytime we ever did get stopped by the cops, I talked our way out of it.
Oh, that's good. So you mentioned like traveling the country and stuff. What's like the kinds of places that you were going to?
To go see the clowns. Well, I've been to far east as Pittsburgh, Memphis, Columbia, Missouri, Detroit, and everywhere you can think of in between, like Chicago, Columbus, Ohio, Cleveland, Louisville.
Is that what most of your traveling? Is that what most of your traveling was for juggalo shit?
Yeah,
yeah.
I traveled once when I was younger to all the way down to Texas, and then from Texas to California, and then we drove the middle of the country back home for a 2 weeks vacation, but.
So when you're going all these places for juggalo shows, was it mostly just shows, or was it like juggalo weekend and gatherings and stuff like that?
Gatherings and juggalo weekends and one-off concerts and pretty much and everything.
Do you have any, like, what was your first gathering? Let's start there.
The second gathering.
Wow.
Toledo, Ohio.
What was that like? I didn't get to go back in the day.
It was in the city, like there's good things about it being in the cities and bad things. The good things, you get to run the streets of the night and just cause, you know, mayhem and whatnot. But then, but you also got to be careful not to get arrested. And but you know, everything closes at a certain time too. So
yeah. But what was the actual gathering like? I didn't get to go to the early ones.
It was amazing, man. It was a blast. Everybody packed into the hallways of that place trying to get merchandise and go to the seminars and everything. But then at the when the concert start, you had to go to the room where the concert was. They forced everybody in there, basically. Uh-huh. And everybody had to stay in there until the concert was over.
Were there any like special events or anything from that second gathering?
Lotus, the first Lotus concert.
First Lotus.
Yep. Mars actually performed with them that show.
Wow.
So I seen the first Lotus show and the last.
Oh, nice. You were one of the lucky ones at that last gathering that they played.
Yeah.
I was... Let's see. I'm trying to think if that was one of the ones I was at or not. Yeah, I think so. Oh, yeah, because that was the Wizard of the Hood year too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I got to see that. But I kind of, like, it was so crowded, I kind of didn't go into the crowd area, and I kind of sat back at my tent. And
oh,
so
You can't close enough to the main stage.
No, that year Lotus was on one of the side stages.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I was camped over by that stage, and it lucked out. I could hear a lot of the late night stuff from my tent if I didn't want to be out and about. So like when I was fucked up and drunk and shit, I was just like rocking out. So
I'm straight edge, man, so I don't get messed up at the shows or nothing.
Oh, that's cool. How did you end up getting being straight edge?
Watching all my friends do drugs and my dad drinking, and I just didn't want to do it. So when everybody in my neighborhood was getting drunk and high, I still hung out with them, party with them, but I didn't do nothing.
That's cool. I don't really drink that much. Like only a couple times a year, really. But at the gathering, like, I'm just like, fuck it, I'm here. I'm just, who cares?
You're not driving, so you're good. Right.
Exactly. I'm not driving, and I'm like, if it's available, I'll drink it. But if, you know, I'm not, like, I grew up, my parents, my dad was a, like, hardcore alcoholic and drug addict, and he'd go and he'd sit at the bar for hours, and I'd be, that's just fucking, like, you're just wasting your time and your money, and I always kind of resented him. Yeah. But I figure as long as I'm not doing that, I'm okay. So,
I'd rather put my money into CDs.
Exactly. What's it like being straight edge? Did other juggalos, like, have an issue with it, or?
In Oklahoma, I was getting called a cop. You want to hit this blunt? You're a cop. You don't want to drink, you're a cop. Oh, whatever.
That sucks, but in Oklahoma, there were a lot of cops around, so I think people were just extra paranoid.
Yeah, it almost got to the point where I almost got jumped.
Oh, fuck that. That's so stupid.
I had to get my, I had to walk around my crew and to make sure that nobody tried to mess with me, which I know you've been to a couple of gatherings. You know there's different crews and whatnot. Right. I roll with the Kent bad guy.
I don't think I know anybody from that.
We don't have a whole lot of members, and we like to keep it that way.
That's cool. That Oklahoma man, that fucking sucks. I mean, the gathering itself was cool, but the fucking cops just rolling through and all that shit and being hot as balls fucking sucked. I mean, no disrespect to the people of Oklahoma, but your state,
they had everything spread it too far. I could not find the second stage for like a day and a half.
It was like hidden.
When I found it though, I made my way into the back of the stage somehow. And he was like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I don't know where I'm at. I'm trying to find the second stage." Like, "It's in the front." I'm like, "All right, well, let me walk around." They're like, "Nope, you gotta go the whole way around." I'm like, "Motherfucker, it's right there."
That's fucking whack. They should have just let you go for it. Yeah. You're like, "There's no fucking rules at the gathering." Anyway, what other kind of stuff are you into though? Like non-juggalo shit.
Well, I'm a big music nerd. Besides, I listen to everything but country. I got like 8,000 plus CDs that aren't burnt.
Yeah. What's like something that you really, really fucking dig on that's not juggalo shit?
It's not juggalo shit. A lot of underground hip hop. It's too many, man.
I'm asking because I'm looking for new shit to get into. So I've started asking people what they're into and how can I get into it.
I've been listening to a lot lately, a lot of the younger guys. And it's surprising because I don't dig younger guys because they all talk about the same crap. Like, "Oh, I got money and hoes and whatnot." And I don't care about none of that. But right. I've been listening to a rapper, like, "It's Okay to Cry." It's all one word.
I haven't heard that. What's it like?
It's hard to explain. He will do a club song, and then the next song will be almost like an angry rock song. Like he's screaming real big into it, and then the next song it'll be a pop rock song. He just does all kinds of weird stuff.
I'll have to check that out. That sounds cool.
And then a guy named Lord Gasp is pretty dope too.
Lord Gasp.
Yep.
So check that out. How do you find these artists?
YouTube mostly.
YouTube.
Yeah, I just type in weird stuff, like weird groups, Tommy Cash from like Russia or wherever the fuck he's from. He's dope too. Then it like will recommend something to you, and then I check all that stuff out too, and that's how I find weird groups. I know you like horror. I love horror.
I fucking love horror.
I actually kicked one of the members when he was at the gathering when he jumped in the mosh pit.
Yeah, when he jumped in the mosh pit and he was like, "I heard juggalos like the mosh. I want you guys to hit me." And the whole crowd just kind of looked at each other, shrugged, and then went in on it.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Fucking priceless. I fucking loved every. They're my favorite. I've kind of seen them a handful of times.
I've seen them a couple of times. I've seen them with Ghost Man once, and that was a pretty dope show. But I've been wanting to see Clipping. But
oh, yeah. I've been bumping Clipping a lot lately.
Nice.
I heard a Clipping, I want to say a couple of years ago, and I was like, "Oh, this is cool, but it's not really my thing," or whatever. And then my brother and my mom wanted to see Hamilton, and we watched that, and I saw David just ripping it up. I was like, "Man, I got to give Clipping another shot." And then I found out Visions of Bodies Being Burned had just come out, and so I was like, "Fuck it, let me download this shit." I downloaded that album. Like, fuck! I love this.
Man, that guy is talented, man. He's a great actor. He's a great rapper.
Yeah, he's
amazing. Check out his movie Blindspotting.
Blindspotting. I'll do that. Yeah, I almost missed out, and so I'm glad. And then horror, I know they tweeted once, name some rappers that you like. And I tweeted to them Clipping and JPEG Mafia. And then very shortly after I did that, both of those artists released music with horror. I'm like,
yeah.
I was like, horror's on the Clippy's new album. I was like, there's no way that I made that happen, but I'm going to pretend. Because it was too fast. But yeah, I was happy to see those dudes connecting. But yeah, so let's get back to you a little bit instead of my favorite fucking.
Another thing I do outside of the Juggalo world, I guess it kind of is in the Juggalo world too. Pro wrestling.
How'd you manage to get into pro wrestling?
I met this Juggalo who was wrestling. I said, hey, man, I want to do that too. And he's like, well, I want to start my own promotion. And when I do, I'm going to put you in it. And about 4 years later, he started and he started training me. And that was like 13, 14 years ago or something like that.
Oh, fuck. So it's been a hot minute.
When I first started wrestling, I was going through anxiety and depression real bad. So uh-huh. I only did like 4 shows in about 2 years.
Oh, wow. What was your like interest in wrestling like before you joined it? Were you all about WWF and all that, or?
Yeah, the earliest memories I have are 2 things. Hip hop and wrestling.
Weird, so, and you became a Juggalo. No, I'm just kidding. That's like the recipe for a Juggalo right there.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Who were your favorites when you were a kid?
Macho Man. Bob Backlund, for some reason. I always love Bob Backlund. I like the Rockers.
Yeah.
I was so pissed off at Shawn Michaels when he turned on Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, my brother loved Shawn Michaels. We used to tease him because we were dumb kids and like homophobic as fuck, but we used to tease my brother and tell him that he was gay and shit.
And hey, then, my brothers did that to me too.
And he like idolized Shawn Michaels, and I'm like, his whole gimmick is like how sexy he is, like, you know. And now I realize like that was fucking stupid and, like I said, homophobic bullshit. But I was like 10, I didn't fucking know, you know.
Yeah.
But we used to make fun of him so hard because he just was like obsessed with Shawn Michaels, and until later. But yeah, we grew up watching all that. My favorite was The Undertaker, of course. I was my little gothic ass. I was like, gotta give me the third one.
I thought he was kind of boring.
Yeah, I like the way he, like the aesthetics, you know, the dark clothes and the spooky music and the fucking like Tombstone and Paul Bear and all these death related things. Like, they hit all my buttons. I was just like, this shit's fucking cool.
The gimmick is dope.
So when you got into wrestling, what was your gimmick?
My gimmick is a wannabe street thug. I come out real hard, acting like, yo, man, what up, man? Yo, I'm tough. And then when somebody goes to punch me, I'm like, oh, don't hit me, don't hit me.
That's been your same gimmick since you started, is it?
Pretty much. I made it into a comedy spot here and there, and I turn it back to heel whenever I want. Yeah. That's a good thing about being a heel. You can make it comedy at times, but then you can turn the comedy right back to being an asshole.
Yeah, right. And have you primarily just been for that one company that your friend started?
No, I've wrestler all around Southern Indiana, and once in Illinois, and mostly in the Indianapolis area now.
Did you ever get to wrestle like for JCW at a gathering or anything? Or
I know some of the rest of the JCW guys, like Madman Pondo. He asked me like, why don't you try to wrestle for JCW? And I'm like, the gathering is my vacation. I want to spend it having fun and not be sore or hurt
the whole time. I stopped being into wrestling when I was like 15 or 16 or something, but I just imagine like if I was still into it, I'd always be up there like, oh man, I want to be in this ring.
It's addicting, man. I stopped for 4 years and I went to a local show to watch one of my nephew's friends wrestle. I'm like, all right, I'm getting back into it. And I talked to the promoter and he let me in the ring and I did some things and he said, all right, you're hired. You can start next week.
Nice.
And that's been about 3 years now. 3 years ago, I came back.
That's dope. And have you had like much success with it or how's it been going?
I don't make a whole lot of money doing it because I mostly do it for fun.
Right.
I make like 30, 40 bucks a show sometimes, but I've been a champion, a tag team champion. I've been in death matches, regular matches, whatever you can think of, man. I've been in all kinds of matches. My biggest success though was I met my wife at a wrestling show.
Oh wow, how'd that go?
She thought I was playing the whole entire night because I was going out there in other people's matches. I'm like, yo, baby, what's up? You know, what's your name? You know, please. She looked kind of short and kind of young. I'm like, please be 18. She's like, yeah, I'm 18. I'm like, all right. And I talk a lot of game to her and she fell for it.
That's funny. And so you had seen her and you were just like, damn, I gotta flirt with this girl. And
well, she came with one of the other wrestlers and his wife. And I was like, hey, man, who's that girl? He says, stay away from her. I'm like, nah, I got to talk to her. And his wife told me to stay away from her, too, but didn't listen. We've married now like 9 years, and we have a six-year-old now.
Oh, wow. That's And you owe it all to wrestling. That's fucking cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Do you still keep up with like the mainstream stuff?
I didn't have cable for a while.
Are you there?
Can you hear me? You good? Did I lose you again?
Okay, I hear you again. Okay, all I don't right. know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with this internet. So you were saying you guys got a six-year-old?
Yeah. He loves wrestling too, but when he grows older, he says he wants to wrestle, but he wants to be a winner, unlike me.
So you haven't had to talk with him and been like, son, listen, the loser is what makes the match good.
he broke free one time at a show and come running up to me when I was coming out of the curtain.
Oh, no.
And I had to play it off, and I looked at him, I looked at the crowd, and I said, whose kid is this?
So he kind of knows that it's a show.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No. What did he say when you were like, whose kid is this?
it's me, Daddy, it's me. I just had to push him and act like I didn't know him.
Right. Well, when he's old enough to understand that it's all a show, you'll have to explain it.
Yeah.
And teach him how to get into the family business, and then when he has a kid, his kid can go and become like The Rock, third generation.
That's right.
I was just watching the other day that TV show that The Rock has.
I'm watching that right now.
So do you still keep up with like the WWE and all that?
That's right. I was until we moved. We bought a house, and when we bought the house, we didn't get cable or internet for 4 years.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and this past year, my son just started kindergarten, and we had to get internet for his school stuff.
Right.
So I said, hey, we're getting the internet. We might as well get cable. She's like, I know why you want cable. You just want to get cable so you can watch wrestling. I'm like, that's right. So I've been watching wrestling for this whole year now, so I'm excited.
Are you watching WWE or AEW or both or
all of it?
Yeah.
I DVR all of it so I can skip them talking and whatnot, because I just want to watch the action. I don't care about the talking.
See, the talking is always my favorite. That's why I like The Undertaker, because he always had fucking best interviews. Playing all these mind games and shit. That might be why I got out of wrestling, because most people wanted to watch the fighting.
Some guys I'll watch the... excuse me, man. This Faygo is fucking me up. Some guys I don't mind watching on a mic. They're good, but other guys I'm like, meh, skip.
Yeah, some of them can be pretty boring. Yeah, like I said, I got out of it a long time ago, but every now and then I'll turn it to AEW and just watch a little bit of it. But my brother, he's still, he listens to all these podcasts about it, and I'm like, damn. Like, I couldn't imagine. But then here I am making a podcast about Juggalo shit, so I guess I'm no better, but... I guess to each their own, right?
Right.
But yeah, so what's it like? What's your life like right now? You know, with the Juggalo shit. Does your wife get into it or?
Oh, my wife's been to one gathering, only because somebody our wedding was so close to the gathering, like 2 weeks before the gathering. And so somebody bought us tickets for our wedding, so she went. She had a good time, but it just wasn't for her.
Yeah,
she's not into it. She's into like Evanescence and chick rockers and stuff.
Right.
We are total opposites, man.
Well, you should let her know that sometimes there's chick rockers at the gathering. It's fine.
Oh yeah, she was kind of upset when In This Moment was at the gathering and she wasn't there to see him. Okay.
Yeah, I saw them. That was my first time seeing In This Moment, too.
Yeah, mine, too. Wasn't bad.
Yeah, it was all right. It's not really my kind of music, but they were
cool. Yeah, me either.
Sorry, I'm just thinking about In This Moment.
How many gatherings you been to?
I've only been to three. I went... 16th, 17th, and then Oklahoma.
Okay.
So
well, I've been to 19 out of 20 of them. That's
fucking crazy, dude. I mean, I would love to have gone to as many as that. I'm from Los Angeles, and it's hard as fuck to get out there. Like,
yeah.
It took me my first one. It took me 3.5 days on a Greyhound bus.
Yeah, I heard the story, man. This sounds pretty fun.
It fucking sucks.
I bet.
I mean, it was cool as fuck, because I mean, it was an adventure, you know, and with the gathering in the middle of it and everything, it was dope as hell. But I was so tired and like depleted when I came home. I had the gathering plague, and like I thought I was.
Oh, that's the worst. That's the worst.
And, I mean, I had that, and then I still had to get on the bus for 3 days. It was fucking awful. I almost missed a bus ride home. One of my transfers in fucking like Missouri or somewhere, and I came very, very close to missing it. So, but yeah, that was that was an adventure.
I got lucky, man. I'm right dab in the middle of like the Juggalo. Everything happens around my area, you know?
Right, the epicenter, yeah.
Yeah, like Detroit's only like 5.5 hours away.
Fucking dope.
So I've been up there, I don't know how many times to go see him. I've been up there just to go see him at a haunted house one time.
Nice. What was that like? What was the haunted house like?
That haunted house was dope, man. That there was like a two-story haunted house. And they had some cool stuff in there, like the floor in one room will go out underneath you, but you're standing on glass, but you don't know it.
Uh-huh.
So that was pretty neat. But we missed them. Like we just saw them. They was like, oh, we're heading out. Peace out. And I'm like, oh, that sucked. But
damn. Like, you're like, I drove 5 hours to get here.
Yeah.
So did you have any like crazy ass road adventures driving all around going to see him or anything?
Quite a few.
Tell me about it.
We went to Hatchet Risings in St. Louis, and it was around it was like what, 2000? Yeah, 2000.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Jay had a warrant out for him there.
Jeez.
So right after the concert was over, they jetted. They got on the bus and just left. So we got back on the road, and we got to East St. Louis into a Waffle House. And it's just two of us, me and Big Mike, and we're eating. And next thing you know, here comes Violent J with no face paint on. He did like a little jump in front of our table. And he said, "What's up, fellas?" And he shook our hands. And he sat down. He sat down at the table next to us, and we just kind of bullshit with him. And next thing you know, Twisted comes in there, Blaze comes in there, ABK. The only person that didn't was Shaggy.
Oh wow! He's like, I'm sick of Waffle House.
Sin from Zug Island was in there. It was before Zug Island was really a thing, I guess.
Yeah.
And we're talking to him, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm on the label too." And we're like, "Yeah, sure you are, buddy. Sure you are. You just work for him."
Right. That's cool as hell. That was fucking amazing.
Oh yeah, man. We hung out with all of them for about 45 minutes. They paid for our food. And then we was like, man, we'll just go, you know, leave you guys alone. But we weren't howl dogging or nothing. Uh-huh. They was talking to us, and we was talking to them. So it was pretty cool. But then we got back on the road, and there was one of those giant like moving trucks going the opposite way on the highway. It almost killed us.
Oh damn!
Yeah. We had to slam on the brakes and get behind a semi because we was trying to pass a semi when that moving truck came flying down the wrong side of the highway. And then, yeah. So we calmed down. We stopped by a gas station off the next exit. It's like, oh man, dude, that was totally fucked up, man. And we looked at the newspaper, and then there was anthrax attacks going around. We was like, what the hell did we miss? We was only gone for a day.
It's crazy. That's fucking wild. Sounds like a fucking party, man. So, you got any other cool stories?
March 7th, 2001. a small town right outside of Louisville, Shepherdsville, Kentucky. The building was only like 2 months old, and the town did not want the concert to go on. It like made like front page news to try to get them banned and whatnot.
Jesus. But
Mars was performing, and they shut his mic off and the lights off, and everybody was booing, and nobody knew what was going on. And they told us to leave, and we refused. This kid jumped on stage and started ripping off the black tarps all over the Bizarre Bazaar set. And next thing you know, the cops come running in there with billy clubs and tear gas and mace. Okay. And they just started to wreck people, man. They went to go tear gas me or mace me. And I put my arm up to block my eyes, and I ducked, and the cop behind me right in the face.
Fuck.
So I ran outside and I tried to flip over a cop car, but nobody would help me. It was just me.
That's wild. Yeah, when I went to that Bizarre tour, fucking white supremacists showed up and tried to start shit.
No, so that's always fun.
There's something about that tour, dude. Motherfuckers trying to ruin shit. It's fucking Mars. It's all Mars' fault. I'm gonna blame Mars.
I blame Nashville Pussy. They was on the first leg of that tour.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, they weren't in out here. Yeah. Wow. That's weird. I've never. I didn't realize they had been on that tour.
Yeah, they was on the first leg, and then they got dropped after that. And then Mars jumped on the second leg and the third leg. I went to like 8 or 9 shows of that tour.
Damn. What's it like getting to see them in so many different cities like that?
It's interesting because you get to meet a bunch of new people, but it's also interesting to see, wait a minute, dude, you was in Pittsburgh and we're in St. Louis. They're like, yeah, I traveled the country. I'm like, oh, well, you too.
That's fucking cool.
Like the Rain of Diamonds tour, or whatever that little mini tour was when Shangri-La came out.
Uh-huh.
I think it was like 6 or 8 shows. I don't remember how many shows, but it wasn't a whole lot. We went to we decided we was going to go to the first one no matter where it was. And it ended up being in Pittsburgh. And it was just 3 of us. And we're walking around in the snow because it just got the snow in there or something. And, we ran into one of my best friends from my town. I'm like, dude, why didn't you ride with us? He's like, I didn't know you guys were coming. I drove by myself.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, well, shit, man. Well, be careful going home. He's like, I'm not going home. I'm going to every show on this tour. And he did.
Fuck. That's the dream. I wish I could afford that.
yeah, me too. I know somebody who went to the European shows that happened a couple years ago. She went to all of those shows.
That's wild. That would... I don't know. If I could make it to Europe, though, I probably wouldn't go see ICP. I'd be too busy going to Europe.
not me. I'll go to see ICP in Europe. This shit.
I mean, I would probably try and see them once if it overlapped. But, like, Europe is so big, and there's so much... Like, I love to see... shit, you know, like I'd want to go to the museums and the fucking art galleries and shit.
Yeah.
But that's just because I'm a fucking nerd, but but I don't know. I'd love to. I've never seen ICP out of state except for at like a Juggalo weekend in Vegas. Or the Gathering. But I'd that'd be fucking fun as hell to see how different Juggalos are around the country, you know?
Yeah.
I got a homie that has gone all over, and she tells me all about it.
There's some towns that I go to go see them, and you have to, like, watch yourself, because some of those juggalos are fucking nuts in some of the other towns. Like, they're It's, I don't know, like Cincinnati, you got to hold on to your wallet when you go to Cincinnati. It's a pretty rough town.
Do you have a favorite clown town to go to?
Columbus, Ohio is real, real fun. And my town is a blast.
Yeah. Because of the two of the three gatherings I went to were right outside of Columbus. I know a few folks from over there.
Yeah.
So I'd like to do that someday.
Well, usually when they play Columbus, they play right across from the University of Ohio. So it's a huge college town.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so there'll be like thousands of Juggalos standing there. Well, maybe about 1,000 Juggalos standing there in line. And then all of a sudden you see all these college girls walking down the street and all the Juggalos are like, yo, baby, what's up? And get to see them roll their eyes at everybody. It's pretty funny.
I got enough of that when I was in college. I'm good. trying to get like hipster art chicks to listen to ICP was
like challenging.
A little bit. Also because like I went when I was already older, so like a lot of them were like 20, 25, somewhere around there. And I'm like in my 30s. I'm like, check out this band. They're like, that's old shit. I don't give a fuck.
They probably look at you like, oh, you're old.
I mean, we would be homies, but yeah, more or less. They'd be like, oh, this old guy likes some weird music. But it was cool. I mean, I loved art school. I loved college. I wish I had known how much I would like it when I was in high school. Then I would have actually went to high school. Would have actually graduated, maybe.
Well, I would love to go back to school, but it's hard for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I read slow, so like some of it was challenging. You know, like I'd take exams and stuff, and I'd be the last person done. But there's resources and stuff, and in my state, like they get the government paid some of the fees and stuff for me, and really made it possible. So well, I don't good. Know. Yeah, I don't know what other states do, but it worked out. And I mean, I got an art degree, so it's not like I'm like, you know, making major bank or anything, or fucking, I wasn't writing these huge thesis papers, you know. But it was fun. It was cool. I wish everybody could go to art school. Do you do anything? Well, I mean, aside from like the wrestling and the performing, do you do anything creative, or do you have any kind of creative interests?
I used to help make music.
Oh yeah, what kind? Like hip hop?
Yeah, hip hop. I help make the beats and help ghostwrite people when they was having trouble writing. And I dabble with the turntables. You know, I'm not very good.
All right. Did you ever like any of the people that you were working with? Did they like, would I know who they are or anything? Or
I don't know. The biggest name that I ever worked with, he raps as Nasty Ink. And I don't know if you know who like Fams and the Hooligan is, or super famous Fun Time Guys, and he's worked with them and Mad Max and a bunch of the underground guys that are getting like a bunch of those underground guys, man, are very, very talented, and they're getting their names built up, man. It's pretty cool to see them get bigger and bigger each year.
That's dope. Dustin, the last interview that I had, they said that they listened to that Super Fun Time group. So
they should check them out, man. They're pretty entertaining.
I'll have to look into it.
But yeah, I work with Nasty Ink. I was the first, like one of the first people to ever record him. But everything that we recorded, our computer crashed and we lost everything.
Sucks.
Yep.
Been there. Fucking suck.
I never rapped or sing myself because I can't do it. But I was pretty decent with the synthesizer and whatnot, so that's why I stuck to.
Yeah, I always say I suck at like making music, but I'm really good at listening to it. I'd be like, I listen to music like a motherfucker.
Me too, man.
And then motherfuckers will be like, oh, what do you listen to? And I'll be like, that's not important.
like how much time do you got? I can tell you all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but once you start talking about ICP, people tune you out. Like
yeah, that's true.
Which sucks, because I mean, you'd think like I had this homegirl who was in a like indie rock band, kind of like jazz inspired, like very mellow. And I was like, hey, you should go to this ICP show with me. And she's like, I don't think that's my scene. And I'm like, yeah, but think about it like this. They've been in a successful band for like 25 years. Like maybe you could learn something from watching them perform.
Yeah.
And she's like, I never thought about it like that. And I'm like, yeah, you know.
Did she go?
No. she was thinking about it, and I was like, okay, here's what you need to do. Put your phone in a bag. And she's like, nope. Why do I need the phone? I was like, well, they're gonna spray Faygo. No, she was out.
I took a couple of my not juggalo friends to concerts, and they end up loving it, and one of them's even been to a gathering now.
That's dope. What was that like, taking somebody who's not down?
I kind of had to babysit him a little bit at first, right? Because he was so nervous, he didn't know what to expect. I'm like, dude, just be yourself. Be respectful towards everybody, and everybody will be respectful towards you. And afterwards, we went to like an after party at somebody's house, and we partied there till like 4 a.m. And he loved it. And now he's been to like 4 or 5 ICP concerts and 1 gathering.
That's dope. I went, so I work for a church and I kind of teach like the Sunday school. And a few years back, this kid that I had known since he was like a little kid needed a chaperone to go to a Death Grips concert. And so he asked me and I took him. And then once he was like 18 or 19, he's like, okay, well, I took you to a Death Grips show. You got to take me to a clown show. So I took him to see the Riddle Box tour, and he had a fucking blast. And then when the Malenko tour came through, he hit me up, and he's like, hey, I heard ICP's coming to town. Are you going? And I was like, nah, I ain't got the money. I was like, I'll buy your ticket. So he bought my ticket, and then he's like, I want to show my friends. And so he brought a bunch of his friends. And so these are all like 18, 19-year-olds, right? And none of them knew what the fuck they were getting into. And we were kind of hanging around talking out in like the smoking area, just chilling. And this girl who was very excited about being at an ICP show, she said she goes all the time, but she was like super excited because she was bringing friends who had never been to an ICP show. And so she was like trying to hook the kids up, and she's like, you guys are dope. And so one of the kids that I knew, his friend was like, damn, I love juggalos. Juggalos are nice as fuck.
Yeah.
I was like, yep. And then I told her homies, I was like, did she tell you what to expect? And they're like, no. And so I told them about the Faygo, and they're like, oh, we gotta go. I was like, oh man, I didn't mean to ruin it for you.
Oh, that stinks.
They weren't down, but the kid that I knew brought, they stuck it out, and they were all fucking dripping wet at the end. Like they were all mixing it up in the mosh, but they were having a blast. I was like, that's what I like to see.
Like, yeah, I always tell people you need to experience an ICP concert once
at least, and, right?
Yeah.
And if you still can't get into it, then it ain't for you, I guess.
Yeah.
I love going to see their shows. I miss going. It's been literally a year. My Facebook Messenger or my Facebook memories popped up with posts from a year ago yesterday, talking about the Juggalo Weekend show where they played in LA, and fucking miss it. I miss shows so bad.
I was supposed to go to the Wicked Clowns from Outer Space Part 2 up in Chicago.
Oh, fuck.
And then they closed everything down like 2 weeks before the show or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
I was supposed to have people from Minnesota come in. And one of my buddies from Atlanta was flying in. And it all got canceled, man. So pretty bummed.
Yeah, I feel like I say this on every interview that I do now, but I fucking miss shows and I miss Juggalos, and I'm just like itching for a chance to get cut it up again, you know. But I'll just have to keep waiting, I guess. Hopefully the fall they start doing shows again.
I hope, man, because I can't keep on going on about going to it, man. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Have you been watching the live streams?
On YouTube, yeah.
Yeah. I had the first month, but I kind of lost interest. I'm just like...
Same here. Well,
go ahead.
December time, I didn't have I was like, man, I can either go buy more Christmas gifts or spend $70-something on this.
Right.
I'm gonna buy Christmas gifts. Screw it.
Yeah. I watched one of them recently on YouTube that was actually really interesting, where they were talking about stories from like one or two songs off of each album. And that shit was cool. And I wish they would have done more of that and less of the like, oh, this one time I banged this one chick and she had a fucking drug addict boyfriend. And like, who gives a fuck? Like,
yeah.
Cringy Violent J stories. Like, oh, man. But I did enjoy the You Produce ICP stuff. And have you heard those songs yet?
Yeah, I've listened to them a little bit. I haven't had a chance to actually like sit down and give it a good listen.
Yeah, I like it. And I like the Yum Yum's lore a little bit. The only song I don't really like is the Ding Ding Dolls.
Yeah. I wasn't big on that one, but
I mean, I think it's fine, but it just kind of like doesn't really go anywhere. I need to, like, it's missing a little something.
Right. I'm gonna say something that a lot of people, like, for reals, you think that? I'm like, and it might not be it might not be a popular opinion, but it's my opinion. The album, Bang Pow Boom.
Uh-huh.
I thought that it Bang Pow Blue. I did not like that album.
I liked it enough. It was like my first like re-entry. Like, I think Juggalos go through like a kind of come and go kind of cycle, and I kind of dipped out for like the Tempest and the Eye of the Storm and the Calm and all that. So for me, Bang Pow Boom was like getting back into it, so I was excited about it. But I could see how it's not everybody's thing.
There's only like three songs on there I like, and all the rest of it I think is just butt.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. I think that album's cool as fuck. And there's,
hey, like, to each his own. I love the Calm. I love the Calm, but not a lot of people love the Calm.
I fucking hate that album. Like, I literally, like, other than like two times when I was like, okay, I'm gonna give this this album another chance, I have not listened to that album since it came out.
See, I tell people you gotta look at that album as a ICP hip hop album and not a ICP wicked shit album.
Yeah,
you got to look at it in a different light, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose. It just feels they sound bored, like. Like they didn't know what they were, like, there was no urgency to it. Like, all the Joker's card leading up to the six, it's always like, we have to get this message out. We have to tell you what's coming.
Right.
And then, like, it came out and then it was just like, so there's a storm. Like, it just felt kind of directionless and.
Yeah. It's like they was lost. They wasn't sure where to go with it.
Yeah, what to do. But then when Bang Pow Boom came out, that urgency was back. Like, it was exciting again for some reason for me. Like, and I mean, maybe it's because I don't really care about like traditional hip hop in the same way that someone who's listened to it more thoroughly would, but like I like stuff that stands out, that's weird, that's different, and
yeah,
I think that that Calm album and the Tempest just sounds like whatever, like generic, cookie cutter.
I can see that at times,
but with that Bang Pow Boom, like I was just super hyped for it. Like, and I mean, part of that is just because, like I said, I was coming back into it. You know, like I had gotten deeper into the Wicked shit, and then I was coming back up to like, no, I still like ICP.
So yeah, I never got out of it besides the very first time I heard it.
Yeah, that's cool. Let's kind of dig into that a little bit. What, other than Bang Pow Boom, were there any other albums that you didn't like that much?
No, everything else is pretty dope, pretty fresh.
What do you think it is about that album that you didn't like?
I just don't know, man. Like, I can't stand, like, Love. It's annoying. Yeah. I don't know, even Juggalo Island. I can listen to Juggalo Island. I just, if I'm by myself, I would skip it.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know. I just couldn't get into it, man. I tried hard, but just, I don't know.
What did you think of Missing Link Found?
It took me a bit to get into some of the songs, but I understood what they was going for when they made it. So I tried to listen to it with a different ear, and for the most part, I love it.
And see, that's another one that I don't really enjoy that much. Like, I think if you take Lost, Found, and then the outtakes, you can shake out a good album.
See, I loved Lost. I thought that was like an amazing album, but.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I didn't really care for Found. Like that Juggalo Party to me sounds like a Black Eyed Peas song. And I'm just like, if I wanted to listen to Black Eyed Peas, I'd go listen to Black Eyed Peas. Like,
maybe their first album, everything else sucks after that.
But I just, yeah. It is what it is. There's a few songs on that album that I like. And some of them are the really positive ones that a lot of people hate. Like, I like Okay and The World Is Yours. Like, those songs bump all the time. But that, like, Juggalo Party and some of the others, I just couldn't care less about. But I'm excited about the new one. I really dug the, like I said, the Yum Yum's Lore, except for that one track. And I didn't like that track when they first released it for Halloween or whatever. So it is what it is, but it's like, it's okay for them to have a track that I'm less excited about, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of people put a bad rep on Carnival of Carnage, but that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's rough. It's hard to listen to.
It reminds me of the shit I was listening to in the 80s, all the gangster rap. Yeah. And,
that makes sense.
I went to that Carnival Carnage show up in Detroit.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
The ticket might have been high, but it was worth it, man, because they did like 12 hours worth of stuff. Something crazy like that, man. They had wrestling all day long. And then they had like dope-ass concerts. And, dude, it was a blast. It almost got shut down, though. I took something to my car, and I went back to go in, and they had the gate to the door open. They closed, and they had the fire marshal out there, and the fire marshal was like, I'm about to close this down. We're like, what? Let me back in. He's like, nope. Nobody's getting back in until I say so. And it took about 20 minutes. Yeah, it took about 20 minutes. He came back out and said, all right, you guys passed barely, and that let everybody back in.
That's cool. I'm glad you got to go back in.
Yeah, I was pissed.
Yeah, I mean, I like Carnage to an extent, but some of it just has not aged well, and then it sounds so, like, like amateur hour, like some of their flows and stuff. You know, it's not quite as good as some of their later stuff, but it's got a special place in my heart.
Yeah.
I told that group whore that we were talking about earlier, I told them that they should cover Ghetto Freak Show. Like, you guys would fucking rip that shit up. They haven't yet. It was cool. I at the Fearless Fred release party in LA, I bumped into them just chilling. Like, they weren't promoting or anything. They were just there for the show. Like, fuck, I don't know how you guys were doing. Yeah. So, they were cool as fuck. My homie bumped a cigarette off of them. We chilled for a minute. I told him they should play The Gathering again. He's like, we're trying. But yeah, so we've been talking for a while, and I'm kind of all out of questions since I don't know what to really ask you. So this part of the interview is kind of dragging. Is there any other interesting stories that you like to tell about yourself or about your life or anything like that? Outside of the Juggalo shit?
Oh, shit, man. It's... I'm a proud father. I'm a good husband. Straight edge, you know. I don't know. Fucking know, man. Shit.
So, let's talk about the straight edge thing more. I'm gonna be interviewing the guy who calls himself Straight Edge Juggalo from Juggalo Judgment at some point. How long have you been straight edge?
All my life. I've never tried cigarettes or weed or nothing ever.
Yeah, you're not missing much. I tried pot ones and I didn't like it.
I never liked the smell of it, and I just never wanted to do it.
Some people love it, but I tried it once, and I was watching She-Ra, and I'm just like, my life sucks. I'm like, well, I don't like this.
There's been people who's like tried to get me high or drunk or. I told anybody who like, oh yeah, I want to get you that. I'm gonna slip acid in your drinks. I'm like, and I will beat your ass after I'm done with my little trip. I will beat your ass.
Well, that's not good to have people threatening to drug you. Like, that's fucked up.
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't be down with that at all. But. Yeah, I can't say that I'm straight edge, but I certainly approve and appreciate the struggle as someone who doesn't really drink or do drugs. It's hard.
I don't see it as a struggle. I don't see it as hard as not doing it. It's just something I chose to do and stuck to it. And
that's fair. Mm. Yeah. When I say it's hard, I mean, like, it's not hard. And like I've never been pressured to do shit, you know. It's just like I remember when I was in school, we had to take DARE, and they'd be like, oh, peer pressure is gonna get you. And honestly, like, especially juggalos, like, I remember sitting around the gathering and people would be smoking a joint, passing it around, and it'd come to me and I'd be like, oh, no thanks. And they'd be like, cool, more for me. Like,
yeah.
You know, they didn't give a fuck. But it's like, everybody's into it, you know. And it's like, it's hard to build friendships where they understand and, like, keep, you know, kind of keep that in check and balance, and aren't threatening to put shit in your drinks.
The gathering in Peoria, we stayed in the same hotel as Psychopathic did.
Oh, wow.
And we went to the Zug Island seminar. And they're like, yeah, we're in this hotel, and if you want to hang out with us, just call our room. We're in a room, blah, blah, blah. So that night, we got back to our room. We were like, fuck it, man. Let's give them a call. So we called Zug Island's room, and about 20 minutes later, we hear knocking on the door. And I looked at the peephole, and it's two old dudes. So, like, it's two old dudes. They're like, ah, fuck it, let them in. So we let them in, and they're like, oh, yeah, we work for them and whatnot, so... Like, all right, cool. So we hung out with them for like a half hour. And like, all right, we'll be right back. So they left and were like, okay. Well, they came back like 10 minutes later with about 3 or 4 members of Zug Island and send.
Oh, that's cool.
So they hung out in our hotel room and they drank all the beers and smoked all the weed that my friends had the whole entire night.
Did Sin recognize you? Did he see? I told you I was on the label.
we actually brought that up to him, and yeah, he's like, yeah, I told you guys, and we had a pretty good laugh about it.
That's funny.
So, and then one of my friends that night, he, because we was doing a website at the time, we was doing a website called JuggaloScrubs.com, and I was the promoter and the mascot for the website.
That's cool.
So, since my friend ran that website, he actually got a job with Psychopathic running their website for a brief time.
Oh, that's cool as fuck.
And he did all kinds of like side jobs for him too. Like he was the chauffeur for Mike P. Always had to go pick him up at his house and take him to the studio and stuff like that.
Is he still in the scene?
No, he got, he turned our website into a pill website.
Into a what?
Pills, all about pills.
Oh, like drugs. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, he got at a Tech N9ne concert in Cincinnati. He got sucker punched by somebody in the crowd, and the security saw him get sucker punched. And when that happened, the security brought him down to the bottom basement area, and they almost killed him.
Fuck.
Yeah, he had to get reconstruction surgery on his face and whatnot. I was supposed to go to that concert, and probably a good thing that I didn't, because when I see somebody fight one of my friends at a concert, I jump in.
Right.
But they almost killed him, and then they got put on pain pills, and he got addicted. And then he turned our website to a pill site. We was doing good, man. For early 2000s, we was getting about 7,000 hits a day. That's pretty good for that time.
Yeah.
And then...
go ahead.
And then he got hooked on pills, and we lost the domain. So we had to change it to .net, and then we lost that domain too, and we lost him. Like, he didn't die to pills, but he was gone, dude. We tried everything to bring him back from the pills, and
yeah, addiction's it changes people.
Yep.
I think that's part of why I never got into drugs and alcohol like that, like, cause just seeing it in my family and shit. So I think, you know, same as you, like, just I'm gonna avoid that shit.
Yeah, but that website is how I got my nickname. I didn't give myself the Scrubby Josh name or the Scrubby name. Since I was the mascot, they like, all right, we're gonna call you Scrubby. You're gonna go around promoting the website and passing out flyers, and we put on concerts and whatnot. We almost sold out the venue in our town doing a Zug Island show once.
That's cool as fuck. Were you big into Zug Island when they came out, or?
Yeah, I got all my friends hooked on to them because they didn't like them at first. But I was like, no, man, you guys got to listen to this, man. Then I got everybody hooked on, and then,
Yeah, I like that Crack Tiles album a lot. And then, the second one was cool too, but I like the Crack Tiles the most.
Who doesn't, man? A great album.
Yeah. There's people who don't like it.
Fuck them.
Fuck them. Yeah, one of the Juggalo podcasts that I listened to, they reviewed it, and they were like, oh, yeah, this first song's really cool, you know, and then they're like, oh, you know, a couple songs in, they're like, oh, yeah, this sucks. I'm like, well, fuck you too.
Juggalo Judgment?
No, it was Dim Carnival.
Dim Carnival, okay. I listened to both of those.
Yeah, I fucking love the Dim Carnival dudes. They're my homies.
Yeah.
I send them long ass emails, and I'm like, actually, blah 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 blah. Because when I was in school, I went to school in like another part of the state, and so it's like with no traffic, it's like 45 minutes. But in the LA area, there's always traffic, so sometimes I'd be driving home like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And I would have that podcast on. And so I would just be thinking about what they were saying the whole way home. And just like, I'd get home and I'd just be like, hold on, I got to write an email. And so I would write them fucking emails and shit. And then I started bumping into them at shows and shit and hanging out with them. And they're cool as fuck.
Right on.
I've just been telling everybody, oh, listen to these guys. They crack me up because they don't call themselves juggalos. And I'm like, fuck, you got a fucking juggalo podcast. You spend all your time listening to Nightspeed. You're fucking juggalos.
Yeah. Like, I hate to say it, but you are a juggalo.
Right. I don't hate to say it. I love to say it. Like, if more dope-ass people called themselves juggalos, then we wouldn't have this reputation that we have, you know?
That's right. that's one thing I hate, man, in the media or when you see these... like Vice documentaries or whatever, that guy going to the march. Like, it's nothing against those juggalos, but they always seem to find juggalos that are all drugged out or ex-druggies or whatever. And I'm like, why can't you find like a juggalo that's not your stereotypical juggalo to follow or do your report on? And
right.
it always frustrates me that that juggalo book that came out some years ago. I read to like the second chapter and they already mentioned like drugs like 6 or 7 times. I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah, I think people think that all juggalos are all hardcore into drugs, and it's like, nah. Like, I mean, I did a little bit of like experimenting with acid at the gathering, but that's it. Like, I don't have like this huge drug rap, you know, like. I never got into pills. I never did it, you know, like, never got in. I, like I said, I don't even like pot. Like, pot just made me sad and lonely. Like, I wasn't feeling it, you know. I don't even like to get drunk. And so I when I hear those stories, I'm just, man, it's not even about the drugs. I mean, for some people it is. I definitely, there's a few people that I refer to as drugalos. Like,
yeah.
They go to the gathering just to get high and to fuck shit up, and it's like, that's cool or whatever, you do you, but like, the rest of us are here for fucking music and getting to know people and shit.
Somebody threatened to stab me one year at the drug bridge. It's kind of a long story. I was dancing with some girl at the Hollow Wicked after party up in Detroit, and somebody who works for a psychopathic came up and took her from me right when I was dancing with her. And I was like, what the hell? And at the gathering, like 2 years later, I was already married. So I confronted him just to, you know, kind of make a joke out of it. And he's like, oh man, I'm so sorry about that. And I said, I was doing no big deal, man. It's, you know, I'm just joking about it now. And he's like, oh, let me tell you stories, and he blah, blah, blah. And my buddy recorded everything at the gathering. He said, hey man, watch this. So I was watching it on his video camera, and I was right next to the drug bridge, and somebody thought that I was videotaping them selling drugs. So like, get out of here before I stab you, blah blah blah. I'm like, this is my gathering. You're coming here to poison people, so fuck off. And a lot of people started coming like walking towards me. So I had to back out of that area, and they had a knife in their hand. I'm like, nope, I'm not getting stabbed today. Not again.
Well, and I mean, I can appreciate that juggalos want to party, and some of them, you know, like, they're into all that, but I never understood the people who get, like, so high or so drunk that they don't know where they're at. Like,
yeah.
I've seen people just at regular local shows who were so drunk they'd get kicked out of shows, and I'm like, now you're going to miss the fucking thing that you were excited about. Like, I don't
know. Yeah.
Your priorities are jacked, you know? Like,
how are you going to spend this much money getting into a show and you're not going to remember nothing?
Right. Or get kicked out before it's over. Like,
yeah.
I having a beer or whatever to me is nothing. You know, every once in a while I'll have a little bit to drink, but I couldn't imagine doing that so bad that I didn't know where I was.
I used to fuck around when I was at the gatherings. People would be like, hey man, you want to buy some weed? And I used to fuck around and say, no, you got any crack? And they're like, no, no, no. Until 1 year, somebody's like, yeah, man, I got some crack. How much you want? I'm like, whoa, man, I'm just fucking with you.
Whatever you want, buddy. well, I'm glad that you've never had any bad experiences with that shit. That first gathering that I went to, set up my tent, the 16th gathering. I set up my tent. You know, when it's at Legend Valley, how there was that big hill going up to where the seminar tent was, and there was like a fence. Yeah. So that's where my tent was like right across the walkway from the seminar tent, and the security guard was posted at that fence. And so I'd hear his fucking walkie-talkies going off all night. And so my first night I'm there, I'm all excited, and I'm laying in my tent trying to sleep because it's late as fuck. And all I hear is, we got a non-responsive. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
You sleep at the gathering?
I try. mostly, I'm going to get so much hate when I say this, but mostly when Twisted's on the stage, I go and I take a nap.
I do that with Tech Nice on the stage.
That hurts my soul. I like Tech Nice.
I do, to a point, but I just got so tired of him. So
I know. It's always the same shit. I did like that year though. He had a band with him, and his drummer was fucking going wild. But yeah, that guy at the gathering that year, from what I could tell, drove his car to a place where we weren't supposed to be at. Hooked up some nitrous tanks, and then just filled his car up with nitrous, trying to get like super fucked up. And it's like, what, that sounds idiot. Like suicide. Like, but I guess he was just unconscious, and he went to the hospital. They took him out, and he survived, and as far as I know, recovered. But I don't know. I could never like, that's the kind of thing that. To me, it's like you're missing now what you were super excited about, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, I have no hate for like people who want to get fucked up. I just, you gotta
keep it. Yeah, me either. But
you gotta keep it like under control. And if you can't keep it under control, like I got a homegirl who struggles with addiction. She was a meth addict at like 13, like, you know, she tells me all the time how hard it is for her, and, you know, I can empathize with that. You know, I know the struggle to maintain and all that, but people who just willfully just don't even care, and they just, you know, go balls to the walls on that shit. I don't understand the motivation.
Me either, man.
But yeah, you mentioned the march. Did you make it to the march?
Unfortunately, no. I wanted to so bad. That month I spent like $2,000 trying to fix my car and my wife's car. And then my mom bought my son tickets to go ride Thomas the Train, like an actual Thomas the Train train. I went and took him to do that instead of going to the march.
When your kid's old enough and like, are you going to show him all the Juggalo shit? Are you going to be excited if he's like, Dad, I want to go see this?
Oh, I've already showed him all the Juggalo shit. Oh, yeah. he's watched a bunch of the videos, and whenever he's in the car, he listens to some of the music. He said it's scary clowns.
Yeah.
He likes like Mushroom Head.
Oh, nice. My nephew was all like, he'd be like, Uncle Rob listens to scary music. And then now he's 18 and he hits me up and goes, when's the next show? I want to go. he never follows through, but I'm like, let's go. I'd take him in a second. His mom would kill me, but I'd do it.
Be worth it.
Hell yeah, it would. You'd have a blast. He's a fucking numbskull, though. He doesn't need to be around other numbskulls. I love my nephew, but he's kind of dumb. He texted me one day and he's like, "Hey, Uncle Rob, I want you to watch this documentary on Netflix." I'm like, "What's it about?" He's like, "Just watch it with an open mind." I'm like, "What the fuck is it?" And so he sends me a link and it's a flat Earth documentary. I'm like, "Fuck no, I'm not watching. I'm not wasting my time. The Earth is fucking round."
What? It is?
That's what they tell me. they, you know, with quote marks. But yeah, he just saw some shit on YouTube and he believed it. Like, I love you, kid. I love you to death, but no. But yeah, it's just he's not the sharpest kid. He's great. I love him. But anyway, yeah, so we've been on here for way longer than normal. So I'm gonna go ahead and let you go. It's been fun chatting with you, but before yeah, I let man. You go. Do you have any like social media profiles that you want to let people know about, or do you have an online presence?
I'm on Facebook mostly. I don't know how to use Twitter very good. I suck at it. On Facebook, I'm Joshua or Josh Scrubby DeVos.
Awesome. And you're down with Juggalos just adding you up and hitting you up?
Yeah.
Cool. Hopefully you don't get any like fucking weirdos. I don't think I have any weirdo listeners. I don't get that many listens. About each episode gets about 30 listens, so I think you're fine.
Well, when this comes out, man, I'm gonna spread it like herpes.
Hell yeah, man, that'd be dope. Don't spread herpes, but spread my podcast.
That's okay.
All right. So if you're listening to this for the first time, you don't know what the fuck you just listened to. It's What Is a Juggalo Podcast. I'm on Instagram at What Is a Juggalo Podcast, on Twitter What Is a Jug Pod, because there's a fucking character limit, and you can hit me up also on Instagram as _no_tomorrow_, and so I got one last question for you, Josh. What is a juggalo?
What is a juggalo? I don't know. Maybe he might Sabu your mama through a coffee table.
Whoop, whoop, man.
Whoop, whoop.